Hello and welcome to the Label Sessions Presents podcast. Label Sessions is the world's leading innovation expert network. In this series, you will meet some of the most interesting leaders anywhere, from across the worlds of business, design, tech, culture, and sustainability, all signed to the Label Sessions roster. To find out more about our work, helping brands and institutions around the world take on their big challenges for the future, head to labelsessions.com to find out more. For now, enjoy the podcast.
Jason, thank you so much for taking time to sit down and talk to me today. I'd love for you just to kick us off with a little bit of an intro of us to you, your work and sort of backstory that leads us to where you are today.
Yeah, absolutely. So Jason Pirock, head of marketing for Springboard Hospitality. We own, operate, and develop restaurants, bars, and hotels, of course, all across the country. We've got about 50 hotels in 14 states. So as head of marketing, I oversee everything under the sun as far as brand marketing and communications. That spans from, you know, traditional digital, social, PR, et cetera. But my job is really about customer acquisition, growth, and retention within all of our portfolio, the brands that we support, and then Springboard as a brand as a whole. I've been in the hospitality space for a number of years. I've worked for companies like Hyatt Corporate, based out of Chicago, overseeing marketing strategy for full service brands. I've worked for a smaller company called Aperium Hotel Group, also based in the US in Chicago. They are really a little bit more higher end, elevated boutique hotels across the US with a bigger emphasis in food and beverage. But before I was in hospitality, I spent a number of years in retail as well. And that's really where I got my start in the professional space and in marketing, working for companies like Target, Sears, Brookfield Retail, which is a global company. They acquired the company that I previously worked for, but all in marketing all along the way, and have just kind of, you know, moved from one area to the next, one company to the next. But really what I've been, really what I've kind of become known for is sort of the building and rebuilding. At Aperium, I built out the marketing department and team. At Springboard, I was charged with sort of revamping the entire department, and that was everything from, you know, our reputation to talent to process to strategy to performance, you name it.
Fab. That's a really good stepping stone to sort of jump off of there. And my immediate thought from then on out is, for someone like you who obviously, you know, marketing is a through line, but you've worked in sort of different industries, like you say, do you see those as individual sort of eras of your career, or do you see them as a sort of cumulative experience? And how did you find the segue between those industries?
That's a really interesting question. I think that I look at them as both, I would say. They were, you know, different times, different skill sets, but I feel like I've always been building, right? It's always been, when I was at Target, I started off in merchandise presentation, which in a way is a form of marketing, if you think about the four Ps. But then, you know, then I moved into in-store marketing and experience, which really, you know, helped me understand more about the customer and how their journey is within the store, and how to educate them. And so I've just used each experience as a building block to help get me to kind of where I am today.
And, you know, looking into where you are now and where you are on the stage of your career, what is it that's exciting you right now in the realm of marketing? It doesn't have to specifically be in hospitality, but do you see opportunities or challenges that are emerging that are important for the work that you do?
Yeah, I think that one that I think is sort of agnostic to industry is AI. I know it's been a, a really hot topic. And I've been at a lot of conferences. I've been, at a lot of networking types of events where that continues to come up. And I know everyone is at a different stage of their comfort level with AI, but it's here, it's going to continue to evolve. And I think that, embrace it, but embrace it in the way that sort of works best for you. And one panel I sat on at a conference, I was the beginner of the group, right? I was in the early stages, kind of just dipping my toes. And then I'm working with someone who's talking about like facial recognition and how they're making decisions from that, and these like heat maps and the airport and like some really wild stuff that I haven't even, thought of or dreamt of, right? So I think that's something interesting. But what within my industry in the hospitality industry, I think there's a lot of untapped potential in how we market and cater to families, more specifically with kids and teens. And I've actually more recently started advising an organization in the space that's their primary focus, is how do we think about the experience through the lens of the kids and teen segment, because they have so much influence on adults and family decision making. And we kind of have coined it's sort of like happy kids equal happy families equal happy reviews, right? And we know there's a correlation to that spend. So I think there's a lot of opportunity within the hospitality industry for that.
There's a couple of things I want to pick at there that I find really interesting. So firstly, in terms of AI, because obviously, with AI, the applications that you typically see are always like content creation or writing. What sort of applications do you think of, or when you think of applying it to marketing? Is it strictly in terms of like the writing, or in terms of other ways of using it or applying it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the one that comes to mind, and I think that the one that's probably being used the most right now is content creation. Whether that's writing copy for an email or writing copy for a social media post, or using it to help generate hashtags. I think that's sort of the beginner phase of it, or sort of that dipping your toes, as I mentioned before. And I've heard from a lot of folks that's really what they're kind of using it for. But I think where it can go is, continuing to create efficiencies and, sort of helping to be thought starter, be, mm-hmm. develop the beginning phases of your work, and then you kind of come in with that human touch. But I think we, you get that like blank paper syndrome, it's called, where it's just getting it started is the hardest part. And I think that's where, AI can kind of help you from a content perspective. But I do see it being more involved in the guest journey as time goes on, and really helping them to make decisions and create guides for them and their planning, maybe getting them closer to booking. So there's a lot of different ways that we could potentially leverage it.
Yeah. I was just wanting to get your thoughts on it, because obviously it's something that everybody has an opinion on. It's the hot ticket. It's the hot ticket item right now. And the other one that I was wanting to delve in a little bit more about is that you mentioned, catering towards more kids and teens. Like that's the work that you do at Wonderland. And what is the sort of different perspective or different approach that you take in terms of advertising, or sort of, not advertising, but, taking into account hospitality for a younger generation?
Well, yeah, I think it's all about the experience and, the connection with them, right? I think that ultimately we as adults are the ones running these places, right? We're the ones marketing, we're the ones operating, we're the ones coming up with all the ideas. Typically adults are the ones who have the purchasing power. And so I think historically that's really where we've focused all of our energy. But what we need to start thinking about, and where there's a lot of upside in thinking about it, is like, put yourself in the shoes of your 6 or 7 year old self. You're with your parents and you arrive at a hotel in London or in New York City, and what can that hotel do for you as that, you know, 6 or 7 year old from the minute you walk in the door? What's that sense of discovery? What's that sense of, you know, feeling welcomed? What's that, you know, little small trinket that isn't just, you know, the standard, you know, teddy bear or something that is really different, that's going to connect them with that time and place and create that memory for them. They're going to have a great time. It's going to impact, you know, their parents, who are ultimately going to want to maybe spend more while they're there, or write a great review, or come back, all the things that we want. And to have that child go home and talk about it, right? And as a teen, to be able to post about it and be on social media about it, there's just a lot of power in that space. And there's a lot of studies around the influence that they have on the decision-making of the parents and the planning phase, in what you do in activities, how you select a hotel. So it's a really untapped area.
Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely spot on with that. It's a really interesting sort of field to navigate into. Thinking of some of the questions, I'd love to tap into a little bit more about, you know, the industry that you're in, hospitality. What other questions do you think leaders should be asking themselves right now? Or maybe what other shifts do you think they should be making? Be it, you know, a little bit more about thinking of, like, you know, the kid or teen space, or other aspects of hospitality?
I think that, you know, there's two things that sort of stand out to me when I'm thinking about hotels in particular. Actually, this could go for any industry. I think we need to do a better job of starting with why. And I'm sure you and many people that will be listening are familiar with Simon Sinek. And I don't necessarily even mean it from what he's saying. I'm meaning it more from, like, why are we doing this? What are we solving? Like, have we taken a minute to just pause and breathe and answer what is the root cause? What is the problem? I feel like often we want to move so quickly, and we think there's this massive problem to solve. And a lot of times when we stop and really reflect, it's not as big as we thought it was, right? Or it's much simpler than we're making it out to be. And if we don't take that time to pause and think, then we create a lot of swirl. We create a lot of unproductive moments, right? Because not everyone's clear on what it is that is our objective, right? What we're trying to solve. And so I think that that's one that really stands out to me and can resonate across industries. But where the other piece that I would say within the hospitality industry, and I think we've gotten better over the years, especially since COVID, is putting more emphasis on innovation. We're an industry that I would argue is often behind the times, you know, compared to some of our others in the travel industry, like the airlines. And so, again, we've gotten better. There's a lot more technology. There's a lot more solutions. There's a lot more integration into the digital guest journey. But I think there's still a ton of upside and a ton of potential to push those boundaries and innovate further. You know, innovation doesn't always have to be technology. Innovation in our standards of service, or how we're doing things, or, you know, what we're tapping into from an experiential perspective, or innovation and saying, you know what, I don't need to have 20 or 30 brands. I need 5 and do it really well and have, you know, clear differentiation and clear targets and demographics that I'm going after.
What's been the sort of favorite innovation that you've, you know, witnessed in terms of hotels? Like, does it come down to, like, the booking? Does it come down to the curation aspect? Does it come down to the overall experience or service, like you say?
Yeah, I've seen a few. So innovation, I think what the outdoor space has been doing is really neat and exciting. There's a lot of different offshoots that have happened over the course of, you know, the last 2 to 3 years, even longer, but I think they've really exploded with COVID and post-COVID. And just looking at, you know, different ways to get people outside, get them connected to nature and get them more grounded and sort of disconnected from the everyday chaos or, you know, the technology that's so close to them, that screen time. So I think there's been a lot of interesting things happening there. It is starting to get more saturated. And I think you're starting to see a bit of the innovation slow down because, you know, the glamping's been done, the Airstreams have been done, you know, those types of things. But there's still some cool stuff, you know, that I'm seeing. There's a company, I think it's Harvest Hotels, where, you know, they're partnering with local businesses that have, like, say, apple orchards or like wineries or, you know, things like that, where you can bring your, you know, camper on site. And not only is it, you know, this beautiful environment that you're sitting in, but you have access to the amenities of what they have to offer, whether that's, you know, apple picking or wine tastings or whatever it may be. I think that's really interesting. So I'm seeing a few companies that are, like, pushing the envelope there. Another innovation has been on, you know, in the hospitality space as well, that I'm seeing is I think there's still a lot of room to grow, but more alignment with the way that retail does things, right? Retail is super innovative, super fast moving, is always, you know, thinking about the consumer and what their journey is and making it as frictionless as possible to convert. And while I understand that, you know, in the hotel space, our purchase price is a lot higher than what it is in retail in most cases, I'm seeing more of this, you know, thinking more mobile friendly, thinking about mobile payment, thinking about, you know, reducing clicks and just making it easier to capture that person and put the right information in front of them to ultimately convert.
Yeah, a few really great examples. And quite frankly, that Harvest idea sounds dangerous.
Yeah, I know. I think it's brilliant though. Like, roll your RV in, roll your you know, your van, right? And you're right there in the middle of a field, right? You could be in the middle of a vineyard, or I don't know. I just think it's a really interesting way to not only you're putting an experience in front of people that is already there, right? It doesn't take any necessarily extra work for the business itself. And then supporting local businesses too. I mean, it's kind of like it's tapping into something that already exists in a way. Yeah. It's almost like, you know, an Uber or, you know, Airbnb. You're kind of creating the service that is using inventory that's already there.
It truly sounds like a win-win idea. And to me, like, obviously from someone who hasn't really been on a vineyard before, it's a really romanticized idea. And for somebody who loves wine, it sounds like a really fantastic, unique experience. But I was also really interested in the idea of lifting from retail too. It sounds like obviously there's a lot of transferability between the two. Was there any particular, I know you mentioned a couple more sort of examples there, but was there anything else from retail that you think hotels could learn from in terms of retail?
Yeah, I think it kind of goes back to that innovation piece. I think that, you know, the retailers that have really stood the test of time are the ones that continue to be extremely customer centric, are listening to their customers, are really poking in on the data, and they're evolving with the consumer. They're looking at the trends of the consumer and thinking about meeting them where they are, or, you know, evolving with them, right? Yeah. And I think that, you know, hotels have always expected people to meet them where they are, and understandably so to an extent because of the experience itself. But we haven't always done a good job of innovating and really thinking about that, you know, full robust journey and kind of helping to meet them where they are, to then entice them, bring them along. And really give them that firm decision to come and book with us.
That's given, you know, a fair few insights into sort of how you operate as a leader. But I'd love to tap in to a little bit about what is it that makes you tick as a leader, do you think, in terms of marketing?
Yeah, I think for me as a leader, anytime I take on a new role or a new assignment, I think one of the things that is really important for me is can I make an impact, right? I like to really think about leaving a legacy, walking into something that I know that I can improve. And when I look back, it is in a totally different place than it was when I first got there, right? And so that's really important to me and kind of keeps me going in terms of like seeing that progression and seeing that improvement. But I also truly love leading people and seeing them grow and seeing them thrive is also something that I truly enjoy and get a great deal of energy from.
What I love to ask from that, obviously, you know, from where you are today, what advice would you give a younger Jason?
Good. That's a good question. What advice would I give younger Jason? I would, there's a quote that I had heard, and I might be paraphrasing it. A company will take as much as you're willing to give. And I think that's a really powerful statement, because I do think that it's a two-way street. It's important for that to be reciprocated. It's important to set boundaries. And only you can do that, right? I think it's important to do a great job and you're being paid to do the job you were hired to do. But in order to be successful, you have to, you know, create boundaries, set intentions, be intentional with your time about what's going to make an impact and not getting tied up in a lot of the nitty-gritty in the day-to-day. You can't always be there if you're going to be a, you know, if you're going to make an impact and if you're going to leave a legacy. Like, you have to create time for yourself to strategize and think and reflect. And that's often hard to do because many people are asked to do more with less, right?
That's a really healthy way of putting it, because as someone who might be a bit cynical, it's easy to say give them an inch and they'll take a mile, but it's good to see it as like you say a two-way street. But that, you know, is a really good jumping off point to you throw us into our quickfire questions, if that's okay with you. Hopefully that's not too terrifying. So could your friends explain what it is that you do?
I think so. I think they would jokingly say, and I know a few of them have said this again in a jokingly way, like, I know he's a big deal. Like, blah, 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 which I'm humble and modest. I wouldn't say that about myself, but no, I think they would just say like he heads up marketing for, you know, hotels, right? I think they all, I've been doing, you know, a role like this for quite some time. So I think they've all kind of figured out, but I don't know that they would know what my day-to-day entails and dealing with owners and what goes into like the marketing strategy of a hotel, but I think they could get the basics.
What is it that you'd want them to say?
I would want them to say that, you know, he's a great leader, that he is a change maker, and that he's passionate about what he does.
Fab. And, you know, you've given a lot of really great advice over the past sort of 25 minutes or so. I would love to know what's the best advice someone has given you.
I honestly feel like it, one of the things that was a bit of a light bulb was, a little along the lines of what I said before in terms of like setting those boundaries. I think that's one piece, because I think that happened actually, that quote I heard later in my career, more recently, but I heard a version of that earlier on in my career at Target. And I remember someone telling me, like, you know, schedule out your calendar and make sure that you're blocking time for strategy. I know it sounds crazy, but like, make sure, because we all get caught up in meetings, we all get caught up in day-to-day execution and projects, et cetera, but make sure that you've got like, take a Friday morning, take a Friday afternoon, if you can do it, But you've got to be intentional about it, right? Because everybody's going to try to take up that time, but really use that time for strategy and thinking about your week and thinking about the months ahead, right? Like what's working, what's not working, kind of do an assessment. And I think that ties really nicely into a company will take as much as they're willing to give, because, you know, you do have to set those boundaries. If you're not giving yourself time to think, then you're only in execution mode, right?
And from that, what is one thing that you could not live without?
Is that like anything? Like
it could be anything, or it could be professional, it could be personal.
That I can't live without. I mean, can it be like food? I love coffee.
Drink. Yep. Yeah.
I'm also like crazy about chips and salsa. I always think if I was stuck on an island, that would be what I would want.
No. I'm completely the same, actually. There's been times where I've went to a Mexican restaurant just to get chips and dip, chips and guac.
Yeah. Totally.
It's so good, especially if you get the right ones where they're like the actual, like, you know, fried ones rather than just like, you know, pre-opened sort of Doritos kind of thing.
Incredible. Yeah.
Well, from that, favorite dip?
What's that?
What would be your favorite dip?
So, I mean, salsa. Like, I just love salsa in general. Like,
solid.
Tortilla chips and like a good, like, mild, chunky salsa. Yes.
It's good to finally meet another man of culture, you know? That's brilliant. And then that leads in really nicely to our last question, which is a question that we always ask everyone on the podcast. And it's, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most, how weird are you, Jason?
I would say I think it depends on who you ask. If you ask my wife, she might say I would lean higher on that scale. I would say I'm probably like a 5 or a 6. I think a little more in the middle. I like a good balance. I there's probably things about me that you'd be like, yeah, I didn't really expect that from him. I don't know if they're weird necessarily, but I think I like to be more originally me. So that probably makes it.
Really? I mean, that's why we asked the question, because it's relative. Everybody's sort of perspective on it is very different. So
yeah.
No, that's a fantastic place to leave it for now. So thank you so much for your time, Jason. I really do appreciate it. And
thank you for having me.
As we close out another episode, make sure to like, subscribe, and follow us on our social channels. Want to access Label Sessions for your brand? Whether you want to build new products, access world-class mentors for your team, or reinvent the way you attract talent into your business, visit Label Sessions to find out more.